about.
All right, joining us from the San Francisco Chronicle, the baseball man himself, that is Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Well, not bad, I want to tell you. You know, you start off, you know that, you start off on this long journey. You never know where it's going to go. There's so many things that happen along the way, and you just want to win a division, and they won a division.
Yeah, it was a great scene. I was had a few days off this week to burn some time that they owed me, and I was at a party with a bunch of Giants fans, and the telecast kind of took over the party, and it was just great to experience it like that with the fans, some of the fans, and post game was great. They celebrated pretty hard, which I thought was great. You know, you watch the Washington Nationals, they acted like it was July or something, but a lot of the Giants haven't gone through this. And it's especially great for guys like Belt and Crawford, who came on so strong at the end. And there's a lot of veterans, but a lot of people who haven't experienced it. So I thought it was had fun with it, and that's the best.
Yeah, and they achieved something. I mean, they won the West. You just can't underestimate how important that is. And you start off this season, you don't want to be a wild card. You don't want to be in this crazy bullseye of this one-game playoff, and they really got it done, and they did it in convincing fashion. And I'll tell you something, Bruce, they get a left fielder next year, and maybe Heath Hembree makes it as a closer, and you re-sign Pagan and Scudero, and I think we'll be sitting here next September with the same discussion.
Wow.
I really do.
I feel the same way. I mean, the Dodgers, after all this money they spent, are going to have to spend more money to improve their pitching. And beyond that, I just don't think the other teams loom as a big threat for next year. I don't think Arizona's young pitching showed enough. You know, the kids like Skaggs and Bauer to make it seem like they're going to have, some kind of pitching juggernaut. They might trade Upton. There's a lot of uncertainty there. So it's probably going to be Giants-Dodgers again. But I agree. I mean, getting Scudero and Pagan back is crucial. If Hembree can close, that would be fantastic. And if all you need is a left fielder, that's something that can be done.
Yeah, and then basically I'll take the team again because you got the pitching again. And, Lindskum is ending the season on a positive note.
Mm-hmm.
Bumgarner is only going to get better. Kane is solid. Vogelsong is a solid pitcher. And Zito, for whatever it's worth, figured something out this year. And they got a bullpen that can come back too. So I think they're in good shape for next year. And I thought it was a real challenge for Sabian over this coming winter. I don't feel that way anymore. I think Pagan and Scudero have solidified two positions for me.
Yeah, I think the fans would be in an uproar if they didn't sign one of those guys. I mean, they've been so vital. I mean, Freddie Sanchez is a complete afterthought now. And, Pagan has more than replaced Andres Torres, especially Torres' 2011 season. So they've really, in terms of leadoff, second base, smart baseball, speed, situational hitting, these guys have really brought it. And that's what wins. You don't win with collecting a bunch of guys who might gel but may not play the game right. So it's been really gratifying to see that.
No, and they've got a core group on the way up. I mean, Crawford on the way up, Belt on the way up, Sandoval still on the way up, Posey on the way up. You get Pence next year, he'll be here. He's still on the way up.
Oh, yeah.
You've got people. And when you say Sanchez today, I don't think of Freddie Sanchez. I actually think of Hector Sanchez.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, as much as we all like Freddie Sanchez and what he did in 2010, his name is really no longer relevant. And he probably realizes that when he watches what happens. I mean, even if it was Tirio, they'd still be in good shape. And he's now a really valuable guy off the bench. So they're really looking awfully strong for the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, Bruce, watching the post game last night, a couple of thoughts. One was the wasting of alcohol, which to me they have to come up with a better celebration than just spraying champagne in each other's eyes. And then secondly, I'm thinking all of them to a man mentioned the chemistry of the ball club, and I want to get your thoughts on how you rate chemistry in baseball, because to me there's no chemistry involved when you're standing in a batter's box. But when you spend 10 or 12 hours a day with each other, that's when you almost have to like each other, right? Is chemistry overrated in baseball?
Well, that's a real tricky question. The ultimate example against the chemistry is the A's of the early 70s. There's a lot of dislike there. Actually, fights breaking out in the clubhouse and players who really didn't like each other. And they were probably the soundest baseball team we've seen in my lifetime when they took the field. So, but then again, I mean, There's only so far you can go with that. I mean, they just happen to be stacked at every position, too. I mean, those guys were great players. And when they did get on the field, they played like brothers, okay. You know, and they pushed it all aside. So those were special guys. Those guys were all, talk about some grown men. I mean, unbelievable. You know, when you have younger guys and there's a little bit of chemistry issue and it's on their minds, that can be a problem. I think the Giants' chemistry has been huge for them. Winning in 2010 and again getting back to the postseason, I think it's been a huge factor. The clubhouses have been great, and I'll tell you that a lot of the players mentioned the fans too. I mean, when you sell out every game and it's a Monday night, you know, against Houston, and it's jammed and people are chanting. I mean, what the hell is that? I mean, yeah.
No,
that's a special factor too.
No, it means something. It's huge. Not only for the ball club, it makes you feel better. We all want to feel better. We want to be accepted and validated, and it's a validation. But for the other people, the other team, playing in that atmosphere, and it's a game of precision, and you do block a lot of it out, mm-hmm. but you still, it's one thing of performing in front of 8,000 people mm-hmm. if you're the opponent, and 42,000 screaming people.
The
Giants have a couple of chemistry issues coming up, you know, ahead of them. I mean, with the Melky Cabrera thing, it seems likely that they're not going to bring him back, and I think that's probably the smart way to go. It'd be a big distraction in the clubhouse with all the media around, and that would be the number one story. And he hasn't played in 2 months, and all of a sudden he's the focus of the LCS. That just seems wrong. And with the Posey situation, only catching half of your playoff rotation, that's going to seem odd to some people. But they get past all of this. They've gotten here. They've gotten here without Melky and with Hector Sanchez catching two of the guys. So there's no reason to stop now.
No, Bruce Jenkins with us on this Sunday morning. All right, now, what do they do here for the next 10 days? They're still in this thing chasing. It's a long shot to catch Washington or Cincinnati because of the tiebreaker. It's an extra loss. So you've got to overcome a lot with only 10 games to go. These other teams have to go 2-8, and you'd have to go 8-2. You know that, and that's probably not going to happen. But Washington, Cincinnati, there's only a couple of games separating those two. Washington has the tiebreaker, I think, over Cincinnati.
Right.
But what do you do if you're the Giants? Do you ease up on the pedal here a little bit? What do you do?
Well, I think you still put your A1 lineup out there every day, and you put your starters out there every 5 days. But you certainly don't stretch them out. I mean, there's no reason to have anybody, you know, with a huge workload laboring. You know, the idea is not to have anybody laboring at any time, not to put any undue stress on the guys. But I definitely would keep them in their rotation and keep the arms, you know, sound. And it's sort of a somewhere between rest and, you know, keeping your routine going. And I definitely think, guys like Belt and Crawford have to stay in there. They have to keep their swings going. Sometimes guys, when they sit out a while, they find it tough to get right back in the groove, and all of a sudden, you know, it's game one of the playoffs and the whole world's watching. So I think they sort of stay the course, but, you know, come the sixth, seventh inning, or maybe earlier for the pitchers, you get some of the other guys in there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's the way you do it. As I said, if a pitcher goes 4 or 5 innings, I want sharp innings.
Yeah.
You know, good control, sharp innings, and just go well and play good baseball, good defense, and you're right, and get your swings and get out of there. It's like March 20th of spring training for me.
Yeah, routine is important. You know, you don't want to break the routine, but at the same time, you don't want to push guys too hard. So, you know, it'll be good for the guys on the bench. You know, guys like Nady and Tirio get a couple of bats a night. And they'll be ready as well. So if you look at it that way, you know, maybe it'll help. As far as trying to pass Washington or Cincinnati, I mean, you know, it's conceivable if they do that, then they'd get the home field advantage. But you wonder how much of an advantage that really is when you open two on the road.
I know.
It certainly wasn't much of them when they lost to Florida a few years back. Was it 97 when they lost the first two back there?
Yeah.
They came back home and lost, and we'll see you later.
Yeah, this five-game series, you know, a couple of things I want to ask you. One, and I want to come back to the five-game series. I love it. I think it's the most amazing five games you play during a season. It changes by the minute. It's like the weather. in South Florida. You know, it's raining and then sunshine raining. You never know what's going to happen. And that's, you've got to be steady to get through those five games. You go down 1-0, 2-0. Then you say, all right, we win today. Now it's 2-1. Now we're coming back tomorrow. We win that one. It's 2-2. It never is over until it's literally over in the five-game series. But the swings back and forth for the fans and everybody else, it's crazy. All right, with that said, who would you like to see them play? Do you have an opinion? I've been asked this question about 30 times already. Washington or Cincinnati?
Well, in terms of which team I would think they'd have a better chance against, I really can't make that call. I think the two teams are similar in that they both have solid rotations. Washington's probably a little better. They both have an awful lot of hitting. The big difference is that Cincinnati's ballpark is frightening. It's a real bandbox, kind of embarrassingly so at times. So that, you know, you wonder about that. But I'd like to see them play Dusty. I think that would be fascinating. It could happen later on, but I wouldn't mind seeing it right away.
Okay.
If they can get past Dusty and the boys, then they get Washington and all everything that implies.
Yeah, no, it's going to be. Bruce, I'll say it again, and we'll talk again next weekend. This is the most amazing National League playoff that I've seen in years because anybody can win it. Anybody can win it from the Cardinals if they're the second team, right through the Giants or the Nationals.
Cardinals, yeah, Cardinals could sneak in and take the whole thing.
Yeah,
just like
year. Why not?
Yeah, or the
if
Braves,
you pitch,
you know,
can
the
win.
Could, the Braves could do that. I mean,
yeah,
it is. It's fantastic. And I mean, as you said earlier, the biggest thing is that they're not going to get in that one game wild card because that is just crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. The best of five will go back to 2-2-1 next year, ideally with travel days on both ends, and that's the best of all worlds. That's when the best of five really kicks in.
So, and my last question: do you like the best of five?
Yeah.
Whatever format.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is? Yeah, good.
There should be some value to the best of seven. They can't all be best of seven, you know. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's good. Hey, Bruce, thank you so much. Enjoy the day, and I look forward to next weekend. And we'll know a lot more by then.
We sure will. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Right on, Bruce.
All right, the wonderful Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle.